grace and peace of God the Father, through God the Son, and by the power of God the Holy Spirit be ours now, today, and forever. Amen. Join with me in prayer, please. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this wonderful day. This day and every day that comes to us is a day that you give to us. But today is a special day as we come into your presence, as you are here with host of your angels among us. Lord, let it be so that you would fill our body, soul, and spirit by the power of your Holy Spirit to yearn to know what you have for us. We empty ourselves into your hand, give ourselves to you, for I ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, Amen. The summer sermon series continues today on the topic human sexuality. Who better knows about the human body and the intelligence and the psychology and mentality and the emotions, sexuality, than God, who is the master mind maker and creator of all of us? God has created our innermost being. He has knitted us together in our mother's womb. We see humanity has advanced far into medical science and technology, and many think that they can outrun and outsmart God. But they fail to see how a glass can contain all the oceans and the rivers and the seas into it. A finite cannot comprehend the infinite. Humanity is finite. It has a beginning and it has an end. God is infinite, who has no beginning and who has no end. The same is true for the Word of God, the Holy Bible. Nothing past, nothing present, nothing in future. Research or studies or inventions can come close to the treasures of God's Word. God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. And those plans and purposes can only be known when God reveals those plans to us. The way God reveals those plans to us is in the same way as he did reveal to his servant Joshua. He says that this book of law should not depart from your mouth, but that you should meditate upon it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. And then God will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have success. This is the same thing God is telling to us today. God tells us that his word is authentic. God is saying that all scripture is breathed out by God, which is profitable for teaching and for reproof and for correction and for training for righteousness. Church, do you know what else was breathed out of God? When God, our Lord, formed the man of the dust from the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, that man became a living creature. Your life, my life, and the life of entire humanity is because God breathed into Adam's nostrils, and hence today we are a living being. So as time has progressed, we have advanced in science and technology to a point where the family values and social environments and relationships and biblical values have taken a drastic change. That which was unacceptable to many unbelievers, 50 to 80 years ago, has sadly become acceptable to many church-going and Bible-believing families. We may change, but our God, He does not change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so where human sexuality is concerned, we can Google and find all kinds of reasonings and explanations on it. And they can be very compelling and mind-blowing to justify all kinds of human relationships and behaviors and sexualities and its orientations. But there is no better place than the Holy Bible, the Word of God, the Holy Bible, to search what God has to tell us about our sexuality, human sexuality, of who we are, whose we are, and for whom we exist, is the core of our faith, our belief, and our very existence. We think that we have better ideas and understanding about our society and our sexuality, but the fact remains that the Master Maker, who is God and the only one who knows it. And so it is very important to know who we are and the reality pertaining to human sexuality for the exact purpose of its creation. In knowing so, we will then be able to celebrate our God-given sexuality. The purest form of human sexuality was found in the Garden of Eden before the fall of mankind. When God created the earth on the end of the sixth day, God said, "It is good." Yet when it came to Adam, God, what did God say? He said, "It is not good that the man is alone." We see God had all the animals prayed before Adam. As those animals came before Adam in pairs, each with its mate, Adam named them. Guess what? How come there was no one to look like Adam as his mate? And so God puts Adam to sleep. And what God did, God made the first woman out of the flesh and bone of the first man. And then he closed up his flesh in its place. The first Adam's bride came from the side of Adam. And Adam named her woman. In Hebrew, the word is Isha, I-S-H-S-H-A-H, which relates to Ish, meaning man. This also is a beautiful picture of Christ and the church. Christ, the last Adam, gave birth to the church as he slept in death on the cross. And the spear opened up his side. He partook of our human nature that we might be partakers of his divine nature. Eve was the object of Adam's love and concern, just as the church receives Christ's love and his ministry. Adam willingly ate the forbidden food and was not deceived as was Eve. He was willing to become a sinner that he might stay with his bride. And so Christ was willing to be made sin for us so that we might be with him forever. It is the sin that completely distorted human sexuality. And we see Jesus healed and restored human sexuality on the cross of Calvary. He cleansed us from all our sins and unrighteousness. We see that before the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden, there was no same-sex issues because Adam and Eve, they loved each other. They were attracted to each other, and God fellowshipped with them. There was no transgender issues. There was no sickness. There was no mental disorder, no abortion or hate or manipulation or magic or curses or ungodly soul ties. There was the triune unity of God, man, and the woman. But when sin came, sin separated God from this holy union. And then begins the problem of all what we see in today's society. History, education, and modern society has done no better than to validate and justify all possible reasons and causes and needs for such disordered human sexuality that violates the very purpose and the reason that God created it for. My dear brothers and sisters, this is the hard fact. And the hard fact is, sin is sin. When God did not compromise with the originals in the Garden of Eden, then why would God compromise with us duplicates? And so the point to ponder is that, is it within our power and ability to not sin? The answer is no. Then why should God continue to hold us responsible if it is not within our power and ability to not sin? The answer is that God has provided a solution. And the solution is, he died and paid the price for sins so that we may have life everlasting. So what does that mean? That we continue to live life in sin? No. No, we can't. And the reason is, God hates the sin. But the fact is, God loves the sinner. He wants the sinner to come to the point of repentance. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. So every time we sin, we come to the Lord and we confess our sins, and he forgives our sins right away without any questions and without any reservations, knowing that tomorrow we will be back seeking forgiveness for the same sin. That's how great and wonderful and beautiful is his love. As long as we realize that sin is sin, and when we commit sin, that we come to the point of repentance, that works with God. But the moment we start to justify our sins as part of our nature, then that is where the problem begins. Sex is God's most precious and beautiful gift to a married couple between a man and a woman. God's Trinity is reflected in the married relationship, which is husband, wife, and God in unity, as we saw in the Garden of Eden. But what about those who are not married? Well, human sexuality begins with God. It is not about sex, but it's about relationship and a purpose. Relationship with God and His people, and to serve God and His people. My dear brothers, sisters, and elders, in resurrection, we would neither marry nor will be given in marriage, but we will all be like angels in heaven. So when we are all destined to eternity, then why should we crave that on earth which has no value and purpose in eternity? We think we are missing a lot in terms of sexuality and prosperity and fame and honor. But that's the false charm the devil takes the advantage when the desires of our flesh overpowers the desires of the spirit. Anything, be it sex, money, fame, life, luxury, education, profession, power, and position, when it is lived for self, then that is where Satan has got us. And he gets us to join him in rebellion against God's plan. There are two main powers: the power of God and the power of the devil, Satan. God is love and God is life. In Christ, God gives us life everlasting and calls us his children. But Satan only seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. One may become Satan's right hand, but Satan will still steal, kill, and destroy them. Above all the powers on this earth, there is the supreme power of God. And remember, when the day of the Lord will come, there will be no turning back, except to face God's wrath and judgment. Sexual sin is very dangerous. Common law living, sex before marriage, sex with someone other than your spouse, same-sex union, bisexual relationship, transgender mind frame is the root of all other effects of complicated diseases, mental illness, abortions, suicide, drug addiction, and whatnot. All of such sins are connected to ungodly soul tie, generational curses, magic, and etc., things or whatever you can think about. And all those people who are trapped into such stuff, there is a way out, and the way out, they need healing and they need deliverance, which only can be found at the foot of the cross. To call sin not a sin is the devil's greatest deception. It's part of this New Age movement, which is nothing more than the modern form of Hinduism and all other kinds of world religion. These people, they all know God, but they ignore him, and they strip the glory of God by their actions. They change God's truth to the lie of the devil by rejecting the knowledge of God. When it says that God gave them up, it is not that God has put them into such problem. It is not that God doesn't want anything to do with them. It is just that God is letting them to be on their own. When we move away from God to the devil, then this is all what we got in return. We can't blame God for that. And what we get in return is uncleanliness and idolatry and vile passion and reprobate mind, which are only subject to the wrath of God. These people, when they do those things, even when we sin, we know the consequences of God's judgment. But if we continue to live in the pleasures of our sins, we know what is to come. We all sin in one way or the other. Maybe to that extent. But sin is sin. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." How is the way out? The Holy Spirit convinces and convicts us not to be trapped into temptation. The Bible says we are to submit to God. We are to resist the devil, and the devil will flee from us. How do we submit to God? How do we resist the devil? Jesus gives us that example. He showed us that example. When the devil came to tempt Jesus, what did Jesus do? Jesus quoted the scripture. He didn't get into conversation with the devil. He didn't get into the argument with the devil. He quoted the scripture. And when the scripture was quoted, the devil left Jesus alone and went away. Simple as it is. Easy come, easy go. And that is why he says, this book of law should not depart from our mouth, but we are to meditate upon it day and night. But what makes it so difficult to read the Bible? Why is it many times we would open up the Bible and it becomes a sleeping pill and we fall asleep? How come we can sit in front of Netflix and keep on looking at movies for hours, but we open up the Bible and we get tired? Why is it that we come to church and we feel it's time to go home? The preacher is not keep stopping. And how come we could go to a party and tomorrow morning we've got to wake up at 5 o'clock and yet we can be in that party till midnight and nothing happens to us? It is the matter of the heart. The Bible says, "For where our treasure is, there our heart will be also." But when we will know the truth will set us free. But how will we know the truth? Jeremiah 29 says, "Only when we seek Him and we will find Him, and when we will seek Him with all of our heart." But we still fail. And the only way out is God, the Holy Spirit, who convinces us to humble us, to trust in God and in His way. You know, this is what Jesus said, that the Holy Spirit, our helper, whom God the Father sends in Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit will teach us all things and to bring to our remembrance all that God's Word says to us. The Holy Spirit will give us the ability to witness of Jesus. We all come and hear God's message. We are enthusiastic about it. And we know our salvation. We know what we've done. We know the way and the truth and the life. But when we go out, we think, I know what it is. I do not know how to tell somebody about Jesus. Yes, we don't want to do it on our own. The Holy Spirit will give you words to speak, to people that you will yourself wonder, how in the world did I say all these things to this man or this woman? And if I were to say those things again, I don't know how I'm going to do it. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all the truth. Therefore, have no fear. Because why? Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of God the Father and interceding for each and every one of you 24/7. So we have a hope. We have a purpose. We have a reason to be on this earth. To live for God, to love God, and to serve God. And then to live for others, to love them, and to serve them. Our sexuality in Jesus Christ should attract nations to the saving grace of God for life eternity in heaven. Why should we compromise our Father's values to the values of this perishing world in places like schools and institutes and communities and workplaces and in our neighborhood? We have this privilege and responsibility to be God's ambassador, to proclaim God's kingdoms and principles, and to be the agent of God's intervention upon this earth. Can anyone or anything stop us? Say with me, Isaiah 54:7. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed, and you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord and their vindication. From me declares the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you and we love you. You are all in all. And in you, we are who we are. In you, we are the children of God. And in you is identified our sexuality. And in that sexuality, let it be so that we may attract the world about Jesus. Let it be so that the love of God may come out of us for this nation. That the love of God or dominate the lust of this world. As we stand with you, O God, let it be so that we stand with our whole body, soul, and spirit. That our hearts would yearn and cry for those who are lost in the deception of the devil. As you came and died on the cross for our sins, let us also arise and die to self for the salvation of others, that they may see Jesus, that they may see the love of God. Amen.